And if you're expecting Acts tonight, I'll surprise you. Because you're surprised. It's not going to be Acts tonight, but that's okay, right? I don't want to get too formal on you. You'll think I'm getting so stuck in my ways, right, that I can't change it all at anything, and I got to just keep on going. And so some of you, your anxiety's going off. It's going to throw you for a loop here. You're like, what's he going to do tonight? Oh, don't worry about a thing. It'll be fine. It's the Bible, so it's always good. Amen.
Amen.
Just open up the book and run to the cross, right? That's what one preacher said. I think it was Harold Clayton or one of those preachers. They said he just opens up turns to a text and runs to the cross, and you can never go wrong, right,
Amen.
With it. Amen. That's true, by the way. And so anyway, 1 Samuel chapter 2, and we're going to talk about verse 12 here tonight. I'm going to talk about Eli's boys raising sons of Belial. Now, or Belial. Maybe you like to say it that way. That's okay. Either way, some people, you know, you never know. Tomato, tomato, right? People have different pronunciations, right? Which one do you think it is, Brother Paul? I've always learned it Belial too, but then you hear those dictionaries, those online, they're like, Belial. Belial. Right? Yeah. Sinai. Yeah.
They don't know how to put the fast.
That's what it is, I think. Right? Remember that one, Paul? Bigot. 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 But anyway. But tonight we're going to talk about this a little bit, raising sons of Belial. And the reason I want to talk to you about this is because the Lord gave it to me as I was going through my devotions. And I thought about, you know, it kind of goes along with our keeping the kids, which, by the way, I haven't forgot about. It's just I believe what I'm doing as far as Baptist history, and that is what the Lord wants me to do. And that's what we're doing for right now. But that doesn't mean we won't add to that, you know, that we won't add to that different things. Now, this has nothing to do with anything that I was doing with that in that case, as far as any outline goes from there. But what it does, it goes along with it. And I guess, you know, we have 40 children here or so, or how many ever we have. And, you know, we have a lot of, Lord willing, we have a lot of opportunities and we have a lot of time and a lot of children to raise. And I think it's important that we pay attention to Scripture. I think it's important that we take a look and we look at the Bible and we look at what God's Word says and the warnings that God has for us. Right? And I'm not preaching this because, man, I see 1,000 things wrong and I'm really worried about it and concerned about it. No, I like to preach it before that happens. Amen. I think it's good to preach it before I see all those things. Right? Before any of that. Why wait to do it before something bad happens? Why not instruct us and guide us and put us in the place? That's what God wants us to do. God wants us to look at the Scriptures, to take heed to what they say so we don't ever get to that point with any of those things. Right? That's where we want to be at. And everything that we do, we always want to be far away from an evil matter. We want to be far away from those things and be like not even close to the edge of that. That's the goal. That's what God wants us to do. So that's kind of why I'm preaching this here tonight as well. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse number 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. Boy, those are powerful words, aren't they? Very short verse. Very powerful words. Now, they could be sons of Belial or they could be daughters of Belial. It doesn't really matter in that case. They're children and they were children of Belial. And why were they that? We're going to go through that and look at that tonight a little bit. And just some warnings about things. And just to take heed. There's some things that Eli had done that caused, I don't want to say caused it, that made it easier for his children to be that way. Let's make a promise to God in this sense, all of us, and I think we have as we've covenanted before the Lord. I think we've already done that. But let's make that covenant that we're going to make it as hard as we can for our children to sin.
Amen.
Like, we're not going to make it easy for them. By the way we live, by what we do, by how we treat one another, by what we do in our own lives, and by how we parent them, then I'm just not going to let them walk into sin and not stop them or do anything about it. Right? I'm going to do all I can do that that doesn't happen. Now, they may do it anyway, but they'll have to crawl over me to do it. Do you understand that? That's the point. They ought to have to crawl over you. They ought to have to get through you to do that in that sense. So in other words, make it simple for them to do right. And make it hard for them to do evil. Make your house a place, a sanctuary of the Lord so much that it's hard for them. It's not conducive for them to do evil in your house. It's not easy for them to do evil in your house. And then if they decide to turn away from the Lord, then what we say is, well, they, you know what? They had to leave my house to do it. They didn't do it here. Amen. I didn't let them do it here. And they had it in their heart to do it, just like the prodigal did, right? The Bible never says the father was bad when the prodigal went bad, did it? No. Never said he was bad. Right? It was the prodigal. He decided that's what he's going to do. But in this case, there were some things that happened with Eli that we don't have to let happen in our own houses. Let's pray. Father, help us, Lord, as we search the scriptures here tonight. Just guide us and direct us through them, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, you know, there's nothing worse than a religious devil. And I'm not going to park there for very long, because of all devils that ever afflicted the people of God, the one dressed in a priestly robe is one of the worst ones ever. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Right? We've seen those. I preached a message years ago. You remember that? Religious devils. And those devils, those people that are like that, that are possessed with that spirit, they're the worst of people you can ever imagine. I mean, you can't imagine. And Eli's sons prove that. They wrapped their sin in a priestly garb. Right? That's what they did. I mean, and we'll look at that here. And that's a dangerous thing. That's a dangerous place to be. Because they really end up reprobates, is what they end up. Those boys died reprobates. They died and went to hell reprobates. God gave them over to their own reprobation. They wanted it. They got it. That's what they lived. They wanted that. They got that. Right? God eventually gave them over to it. But that's why, of all things, these sons of Belial were the most dangerous ones. It means the son of a rebellious one, or a son of Satan. It's a son of rebellion. That's what that name means. Belial. It means that a rebellious one, or a son of a rebellious one, right? So that's who they were. They were rebellious. So, you know, when the Bible describes the chief sin of Eli, the chief thing that caused that, there's one thing in particular, and I'm going to show you that. That if you and I do the same thing as Eli did, we may produce those same sons of Belial. We can be in danger of doing that. By the way, again, not every child that goes prodigal is a son of Belial. Many of them come back. Many of them get right with God. So I'm not saying that that is the case, because it's not true. It isn't the case. However, again, let's do all we can do so it doesn't happen. Let's make it as hard as we possibly can for them to do that. Amen. That's important. Number one, we have to understand that we can't save our children. You know, that's the number that's something that the Lord impressed upon my heart even about 4 years ago. You know, when I saw some challenges with my son, I saw some challenges with him and some things that had happened, everything like that, and I was grieved by it. I was grieved by just some things, and it wasn't, you know, what the world would call grievous sin or anything like that. It was just, you know, I saw it and I was concerned for it and I watched it and I didn't like it. And it bothered me. But I realized that God showed me that, you know what, you can't save him. God is the one that has to save him, and he's the one that has to repent. He's the one that has to get right with God. He's the one that has to turn to the Lord. Amen. So that's important, but we have to understand we can't save our own children, our sons and our daughters. And what a weight it will be lifted from your heart when you put it all into the capable hands of the Savior. And you place that in the hands of the Lord. Just like your own salvation. You couldn't save yourself. It was the blood of Jesus that saved you. It's the blood of Jesus that cleanses from all unrighteousness. Amen. The day you saw yourself a lost, hell-bound sinner on your way to hell, because God showed you that. The day that old gospel was preached, the Bible was preached to you, then by the Spirit of God, you were led to call upon the name of the Lord. Amen? You were led to call upon God's name and be saved. Owning the wretch that you were before God. Humbled by Him and shown your need for the Savior. Then by His holy grace, He saves us and He makes us new creatures in Christ. And old things are passed away, right? And all things become new. We have to remember the same thing for our children. If you've done all you could do and you've raised them right and they still turn out to be sons of Belial, it's because they knew not the Lord. Now it says they knew not the Lord, but let not your heart despair as if there is no hope. Because if there's still breath in them, there is still opportunity. Amen? Don't give up on anybody. Don't give up on anyone. Your family, your friends. Boy, you might think somebody's, boy, they're too far gone. Well, that's not your decision to make. Right? I'm sure some people thought you were too far gone. Amen? I'm sure a lot of people thought you were too far gone. I'm sure a lot of people thought that if they had to look at your life, they'd be like, there ain't no way that guy's ever going to be a Christian. Right? Those are people God likes to save, though, because He gets glory out of that. Amen. But you know what? It must be that we've done all that we can do and we've left nothing undone. That there are no bleeding sheep and lowing of the oxen that testify against us concerning the raising of our children. I don't mean to say that we've been perfect, because we're far from it. We're very imperfect vessels. Yet God has given us the ability as His children to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You have to place it all in His hands, but work as if it was up to you. Because much of it is up to you to obey the commands of the Lord in that sense. God uses people. That's who He uses. He chose to use people. That's God's way. Amen? God's way, He uses people. He uses you. The best soul winner to your children is you. Amen? For a mother, your greatest battlefield, your greatest congregation that you have to preach to is your children. They are. Your children are your greatest battlefield. They are your congregation as a mother to preach, to nurture, to teach the Bible to. So how are you doing? Are you teaching them? It's wonderful you teach them if they're ABCs, but if they don't learn about H-E-L-L, then they're going there. Amen. Okay? It's great that you teach them the alphabet. It's great that you teach them to read. It's great that you do all that. But what about the Bible? What do you teach them about God's Word? Because they are the mission field that God has given you. Right? They are. There's so many people that have that so messed up today. They think they got to be knocking, ladies think they got to be knocking doors out there and handing out tracts door to door and doing all this other stuff. It's like, you know how many people I've seen do that and watch their whole family go to hell? While they're out running around after everybody else? No, mom's place is right there teaching and preaching to her own children. Guiding them and directing them. Guiding the home. Amen? I'm not saying you can't hand out gospel tracts when you go out and all that kind of stuff. What I'm saying is that's your main duty is to raise your children for the Lord. Well, your main duty, number one, is to love your husband. After you love the Lord your God with all your heart, you love your husband, and then you raise your children. Amen. That's your duty before God. But we have to understand that it's all up to God when it comes to that. We have work to do, but it's all up to the Lord. If we raise the sons of Belial, sometimes those children are just going to choose their own way. And that's unfortunate. Number two, they knew not the Lord. These sons were so wicked because they knew not the Lord. Sometimes you just got to look at a situation like that with honesty. I don't care if they grew up in a Christian home. And you got to look at it and say, you know what? The reason they're that way is more than likely because they don't know the Lord. Right? It's true they can go through rebellion. It's true there's things like that. But also at the end of the day, when you see them live vile and wicked and have no regard for God in their heart and their life, you've got to come to the conclusion, and it's a pretty safe one at that, that they don't know the Lord. These sons of Belial didn't know the Lord. Now, their situation was a little different than the average person. These were the sons of Eli. Eli was the... He was the priest in the house of the Lord. Eli was in charge of the Ark of the Covenant. He was in charge of the tabernacle. He was in charge of all of it in Shiloh, of the sacrifices. I want you to look at something here that from the very altar where the sacrifice was given, these wicked men lived. These sons of Eli. The church house won't save you. Being a pastor's child won't save you, especially if you come from me. Just warned you that. You're in trouble because the Bible says, "It's in my flesh dwells no good thing." The Bible says you must be born again. You know, you can go to hell like Elias and Eli's boys went to hell. You can go to hell the same way. Like I preached years ago, Judas went to hell from a Baptist pew, right? Totally possible. Absolutely possible. And you children have to understand, you're no better either that you're raised in this church. You have a godly heritage of parents that have labored to bring you to the house of God. But ask yourself this, am I a wicked child of Belial? Do I reject? Do I reject that? Am I waiting for a way out? Am I waiting for a way out? Well, I'll just get old enough, and then after I get out of my parents' house or under my parents' control, then I'll go off and live my life the way I want to live it. Right? By the way, I won't tell you that temptation would not be there in a young man or a young girl. Because that temptation is always there for you to go your own way, for you to want to do your own thing. Yep. By the way, I'm not telling you you're some kind of a monster. No, I'll just tell you you're a sinner.
That's it. Right.
And you're tempted. Yep. I'm not saying you're a lost sinner, but I'm saying that you're a sinner and you can be tempted to go your own way. How about it, Mom and Dad? Are you ever honest with your children? Tell them, hey, sometimes I get tempted to go my own way too.
Amen.
Right? It's okay to be human with your children and sit down with them and explain to them, you got faults and you got failures and you got doubts and fears sometimes and you have things that happen. You can be human with your children. You don't have to act like you're Superman or something. Amen. You don't have to put on a front about that and act like you're somebody that never has any problems. I think my ministry has gotten better and stronger since I've walked in humility to be able to tell people, hey, listen, I got some trials sometimes.
Amen.
I can't just paint that smile on my face like some fundy and walk around like everything's great.
Right?
Right? Sometimes I get down. Sometimes I get depressed. Sometimes I get anxiety. Sometimes I get fearful. Sometimes I battle doubt. Sometimes I battle all those things. But I don't think that makes me a terrible leader. I think other things make me that. But I don't think those things do. I think those things show people that we need the Lord. But I'm here to tell you children tonight, if that's in your heart, you better ask the Lord to take that out of your heart. Because, trust me, the opportunity will arise for you to run. The opportunity will arise someday where you'll have freedom and you'll have liberty to run. And you have to determine in your heart that you'll serve the Lord with your whole heart. And you'll give your heart to Jesus Christ now. And I'm not even saying you're not saved. I'm saying a full surrender daily is needed for that. And to put down the passions of your heart. And to put down the desires of your heart. And that desire to go your own way. Like these sons of Belial did. You know, these children, these sons of Belial, they waited to pervert the altar of the Lord. That's why the Bible says, marvel not that you must be born again. These boys knew not the Lord. I could preach only to my children in this sermon that they turn out, that if they turned out like Eli's boys, my heart would be broken over it. But I have to preach to all of the children. Because you're blessed beyond measure to be in this church. And to have such parents and such preaching. And people that care for you and love you and want you to have the truth. And sometimes you can be rebellious to that. It's easy to be, isn't it? I don't care how old you are. I'm talking to the youngest up to the oldest. Amen. There's a question that God asked them. Why kick ye at my sacrifices, saith the Lord? Those children, those boys, they kicked at the sacrifices of the Lord. And if you young people aren't careful today, you'll kick at the sacrifices of the Lord too. You'll want to kick out of there. You'll want to kick out of the mold that, man, I'm just waiting to be able to do what I want to do. Oh, man, it ain't all it's cracked up to be. Trust me.
Yeah, come
Amen.
On.
Amen. Preach it.
Let me tell you, I got a mind full of pain in my and grief in my heart and my mind that I'll take with me until I'm dead of things that I went my own way and did. Amen. And if your parents and others are honest with you, they'll tell you the same exact thing. There's things that they won't even discuss because it's not fitting for them to discuss. But they lived it. And you're in the best place you can be right now. Just get your heart in tune with the Holy Spirit. Get your heart in tune with God. Get your heart in tune with what's right. And you'll appreciate what God has given you. You'll be thankful for what God has given you. And I'm telling you, the best thing I can tell you is what I have lived myself by God's holy grace. The best thing that I can tell you, young people, is this. After I got saved, I lived it, I should say. And that's this. Just be obedient to God no matter how you feel about it. Just obey the Lord no matter what. No matter if you can't feel anything at all, just obey the Lord. Continue to follow God's word. Continue to follow the truth of the Lord's word. And never stop following God. Never stop following His word. Number three, these boys were of their father, the devil. If you look at what they did and how they did it, they were of their father, the devil, and the lust of their father they would do. These sons of Belial, by the way, they never go to hell alone. They always take a company with them. These sons of Belial, they were no different. They did the same thing. By the way, any one of you children, saved or lost, said it, if you're rebellious to the Lord, and you wrap your sin in a religious garb, you can lead other children to hell with you. That's something you've got to understand. You children in this room right now, I'm talking to you. You listen very closely to me when I instruct you on this. And you understand it. That anything, any one of you, if you get rebellious to God, any single one of you can lead somebody else into sin. By your actions. By your words. By what you do. You can lead them into that. Understand that. If you got a bad attitude and a wrong spirit, you'll lead others to have that. It's contagious. Right? It's exactly what it is. Verse number 17 says, wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord. For men abhorred the offering of the Lord. Do you know there are some people, when they see Christians or professing Christians, they abhor the Lord and His church. They abhor it. They hate it. They hate it with complete and utter contempt. Why? Because they've watched those people live wicked. They've watched those people go out and do the same things that lost people do, but name the name of Christ. They've watched them rip them off. They've watched them take advantage of them. They've watched them run off with their daughters and run off with their sons and run off and do all this and do that. And they've watched all that happen. They caused men to abhor the sacrifice of the Lord. They hated. These men perverted the sacrifice of the Lord so much at the temple that guess what happened? Those people hated the sacrifice to God. Yeah. They didn't want anything to do. They didn't want to give to God anymore. You know, there's some people out there right now that their hearts get like that. They don't want to give to God because they see somebody else do something wrong or didn't handle it right, or they see somebody like Joel Osteen, or they see, and they think every preacher's like Joel Osteen or something. Right? So they don't want to support the Lord's work. They don't want to give their offerings or tithes or anything else. They don't want to do any of that. They don't want to give to any churches. Now, there's something in their heart usually too, by the way. Don't ever forget that. Because, by the way, these men should not have abhorred the sacrifice of the Lord. They should have been able to determine between a faulty vessel and the Word of the living God. They should have been able to tell the difference. If they were walking in the Spirit, they would have been able to say, well, that's not what God said. Right? So there's more blame to go around than just there, isn't there? Children, if you grow up to be sons or daughters of Belial, you'll make people abhor Christianity. You'll make them not believe in the God of the Bible, but they'll abhor anything to do with God. You'll lead more men to hell with your evil. These sons of Belial, they disguise themselves as sons of God doing the work of God. Eli's boys did more than just cause the people of God to abhor the sacrifice. They also committed fornication with others. Verse number 22 says, now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle, the congregation. They destroyed the purity of others. They had no fear of God before their eyes. They used the temple. It's kind of like using the church. They used the church to sleep with women. They manipulated them. I remember when I first got saved, I was in a church down in Iowa, and there was a young man that made a profession of faith. He was a relative of mine, actually, and I won't go into who he was or anything, but he made a profession of faith. Said he was a Christian. There was a girl that watched her, a young lady that watched her house burn down, and I think her child died in there. It was something like that. I think her child was burnt alive in there, and she was in the hospital. And he went in there and said he was going to try to lead her to the Lord. Well, none of us thought that was a great idea anyway, considering he wasn't a solid Christian at all. He went in there and fornicated with her, and she was married. See, what did he do? He caused the people to abhor the sacrifice of the Lord. That's what happened. And you know what? That kid's probably that man today. He's not young anymore. That man, he's reprobate today still. They destroyed the purity of others. They sinned and hurt others of the Lord's people and seduced those women into sin. You know, one of you, just one of you young ones can grow to defile many. Ask yourself, do I wish to be that person? I guarantee you would say no. You might say, I can't imagine I could ever be that type of a person. Oh, but you could be apart from Christ. You could be the most wicked Manasseh that ever walked the face of the earth. You could be a Manasseh in the church and you could secretly attempt to defile many than openly. Because sin begets more sin and boldness to sin. You ought to pray to God now that it not be in your heart to do such things. And if you are saved, pray to God now that your life would only point people to Christ and your friends to Christ and to keep you from evil. If you are a son of Belial, there's a good chance you will grow up to do abominable things before God. Moreover, these sons of Satan loved money. They grew up to be covetous, whose God was their belly, and they wanted to get rich and fat off the people of God. And that they did. They grew in their covetous nature and used the work of God to be covetous, supposing gain was godliness. Verse number 12 says, now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord, and the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came while the flesh was in seething with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand. And he struck it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh and to all the Israelites that came hither. Also, before they burnt the fat, the priest's servant came and said to the man that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. If any man said unto him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth, then he would answer him, nay, but thou shalt give it to me now, and if not, I will take it by force. Wherefore the sin of the young man was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. Children, another thing you ought to be careful of is not to love money and be covetous and want to consume everything upon your own lusts. All of us have to be careful about that. The Bible warns us that of the love of money is the root of all evil. But it also warns us, these sons of Belial, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Listen, children and big ones, we're all going to be tempted. Each man, each woman, each child in this room will be tempted with some sin. The fact that there's a temptation there does not mean you're a son of Belial. You may even give in to that temptation sometime. But you won't enjoy it. And you won't be able to practice, plot, and plan your sin. You won't be able to do that and get away with it. You won't be able to live like that. Why? Because God's Spirit is inside of you and He's the Spirit of truth. And He'll never abide with that error. He'll never allow you peace and comfort of the Holy Ghost to live in such a way. He'll never allow that to you. All of us should be careful not to ever allow a tainted vessel to turn us away from the Lord. You know, if me or somebody else that you respect and love would ever fall into sin, you still must serve the Lord. You still must be faithful to God. You still must follow the Lord and be faithful to Him. Why? Because we follow Christ and we follow the faith of those that follow Christ. But when they don't, we don't follow their errors. We follow their faith. Amen. That's another thing. You know, you will always find with your mother, your father, your pastor, anybody else, you will find errors in them. You will be able to see it. Why? Human nature is for you to see that no matter what. You'll see that before you see good sometimes.
Yeah, come on.
Why? Well, because you're looking for it. That's right. Why. It's the human nature. It's part of it. Just always wants to look for something wrong. Right. Not look for something wrong. Right? It's the way it is. It's the way human nature is. To look for something wrong. But you know what? The Bible says to follow their faith. Some people look at the Bible and they want to follow the errors of David, not his faith. And then make an excuse to sin. That's a dangerous place to be in. If you commit David's sin, you'll get David's chastisement. I don't think you want that. I don't think you want three of your sons dead. I don't think you want a venereal disease. I don't think you want to end your life in a disgrace to the Lord. Kingdom ripped up. Home ripped apart. Children killing each other. Son trying to kill you. I don't think you want to follow that. But you would like to follow the faith of David, I am sure. Amen? Bible says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If your friend in the church entices you, rise up and say no. Like that song says, have courage, my boy, to say no. You have to determine if all your friends apostatize tomorrow and you are left alone, you will serve the Lord. You will follow God. Amen. Don't blame God for a tainted vessel in his house. You know how many people have been shipwrecked from their faith? How many people have walked away because somebody in the church sinned against them, or somebody didn't treat them right, or something happened, and they were done, and they walked away from the church. They walked away from the Lord. Then they walked away from just a church. They walked away from the Lord, period. There's a difference in, oh, I'm going to a different church. I'm going to talk about that. I'm saying they walked away from God. It's a dangerous thing to do. Number four, what was the chief sin in Eli in raising his boys? You know, this is kind of the crux of the message here. This is the most important part, I would say, to understand in that sense. What did he do? And how can I avoid that so I don't do the same thing? And by the way, I'm talking to me, because I've got seven at home, okay? So if you think, oh, he's just preaching to us, no, he's not. He preached it to him long before he preached it to you. Amen. Remember, I wrote this a week ago. It's been stirring around in my head and heart all that time, right? You know, the Bible never says, I want to review a few things with you. The Bible never says that Eli was a pervert. It doesn't say he was like a perverted father. Never calls him a drunk. Never says he was a child molester. Never calls him an abusive father. Never says he beat their mother. Never says he neglected them and did not provide for them. The Bible never makes Eli out to be some monster of iniquity. Never says he was a terrible wretch of a man to deal with at home, and that no one else could deal with him like he was the son of Belial. No, it never says that. In fact, we know Eli was the son of God. We know that he was a child of God. We know that he was, that he followed the Lord. But he wasn't a good father in that sense. And why wasn't he? He was a good priest in a lot of ways. Verse number 17. Now therefore, know and consider what thou wilt do. For evil is determined against our master and against all his household. For he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. The Bible never says that about Eli. Said it about who? Nabal. Never says it about Eli, though, does it? You would think that all those things would be the case, that he would have slept around on their mother and made them bitter, or that he would have been too busy in the ministry to care for them, that they grew bitter to hate the Lord and then turned on him. But not so. Eli never made that mistake, it doesn't say. None of those things are the chiefest thing that brought Eli's boys to be sons of Satan, or enabled them or helped them. It was one word, one thing. It was a failure to restrain them. He failed to restrain them. Verse number 12. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him, I believe that's chapter 4, by the way. Sorry about that. In that day I will perform against Eli all the things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I also will make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth. Okay, so stop there. We understand that he knew that the iniquity was going on and he did nothing about it. He knew it. There is a greater judgment that comes when you and I know that our children are not doing right and we refuse to deal with it. Because his sons made themselves vile. And what does it say here? And he restrained them not. See, this is where it's the parents' fault. He didn't restrain them. Eli's main sin with his sons was a failure to restrain them. A failure to at all costs stop them from sinning when he had the opportunity. When they were young and he saw things that should be corrected, he let it go. He didn't want to make an issue of it. He didn't stop them from doing wickedly. And then when their wickedness grew, he didn't stop it. He allowed them to continue. I'm going to tell you what. You might have a little one right now, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old. You keep letting rebellion dwell up in that heart and you don't correct it and you let it go. You let them backtalk you. You let them scream at you. You let them sass you. You let them do those things. I'm going to tell you something right now. You're going to raise a little monster. because they only get bigger from there. And if you don't tackle those things when they're young, if you don't get those things in the, out of their heart young, they grow. You don't teach them to obey, that bitterness grows in their hearts. You know, parents, you'll make sons of Belial if you don't restrain your children's bad behavior or their lustful appetites and other things for the sins of the flesh. You have to restrain or hold those things back, correct those things and stop them. How was it that he didn't restrain them? I'll show you a few ways in which he was guilty and that you and I may become guilty if we're not careful, if we don't restrain them in our care as we raise them. I would say, number one, by having a fickle fondness or silly love for them. Parents are first parents before they're any friends or anything else. Now, they may be your greatest friend ever because they love you enough to rebuke your sin and to direct you and to correct you, right? Sometimes, though, parents can be silly towards their children. Some parents are all too fond and giddy over their children and don't take parenting them serious. They try to be their friends and not their parents, while in some ways, you and I are their friends. Right? I'm supposed to be the best influencer and friend my children have in that sense. I'm supposed to influence them. No one should have more influence over my children than my wife and I. No one. Amen. Not grandma, not grandpa, not church members, not pastor. I'm here to reinforce what I hope you're doing.
Right.
And you are here to reinforce what you pray I'm doing. Amen? That's how it works.
Yeah. Right.
My earthly voice and their mothers should be heard more than any other earthly voice. But it's a correcting voice, it's an instructive voice, as well as an encouraging and a loving voice. To direct, instruct, and chasten them when needed. Don't ignore sin in your children. Don't ignore it. Don't look at it, watch it, and let it well up into rebellion and ignore it because you're too lazy to deal with it. Or you're too giddy, or fickle, or soft-hearted in that sense. It's called effeminate is what it is, by the way. It's an effeminate spirit that doesn't want to deal with it. I just don't want to deal with the confrontation. You know, there's a lot of men that won't instruct their wives. They won't direct their wives and they won't lead their wives. Why? Because they have an effeminate spirit. So they'll go to somebody else and they'll complain about their wife. Never directing their wife. Never correcting them because they're afraid of her wrath. And never doing anything like that. And they won't confront any problems. Why? Because they have an effeminate spirit. That's what it is. And it has to be stopped. That's the next point. I went ahead. This fickleness manifested in Eli's effeminate correction. I want to show you something. Turn to verse number 22. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel. I think that's I'm all over the board here today. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle. So we talked about that. But listen to how he corrects them. And he said unto them, why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearkened not to the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. What was that? A bunch of passivity. Passivity is something we have to guard against in our homes, and even when we correct our children. We must not overlook or minimize their sin. We have to pray to the Lord to have a proper balance. But some of you, if you're not careful, you'll be cowards in the home and a lion in the streets. Amen! You can be a lion in the streets, but you can't face what's going on in your own home. You won't lead and do what you're supposed to in your own home. By the way, I've met that. I know men that would tackle a lion, but they'll not tackle their own wives who are acting like Jezebels. It's a passive and effeminate spirit. I like what one man said. He said, in vain do we rebuke the sins abroad that we tolerate at home. I'm going to say that again to you. Write that on your mirror. In vain do we rebuke the sins abroad that we tolerate at home. I want you to contrast how Eli was like a lion in the temple and a coward at home. I want you to go back and look at something. Look at verse number 13. I believe it's 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse number 13. Now let's back up and remember something here. So Eli's sons were fornicating at the door of the tabernacle. They were using the priest's office to extort the people to fornicate with women and run a whorehouse out of the Lord's house. Are you following me? And the way that he rebuked them was, nay, my sons. Hear how he rebukes them. Now watch how he rebukes Hannah, a lady that he thinks is drunk in the temple. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. Well, look what she says, her answer to him. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. By the way, that's the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, because that lady meant nothing ill of that. But God did, because God contrasts it, and he says what to him? He says, now Eli's sons were sons of Belial. And she says under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost at the time as she's praying there, what does she say? Well, count not me as a daughter of Belial. I'm not a daughter of Belial. I'm not drunk. Look how he was a lion to jump all over her sins. Or the sin, his perception that she had sinned. At the mere thought of Hannah being a drunk, he jumped on her like a tiger pounces on his evening meal. But notice the soft and effeminate way he deals with his sons when they're whoring out the tabernacle. That man renders himself ridiculous as one who, leaving his own house on fire, runs to quench his neighbor's. He says it another way. I like Bishop Hall. He says it another way. He says, he shaves the head instead of cutting it off completely. He says, with his sons, he just shaved their head. He should have cut it right off. See what I mean? But what does he go? He goes for the jugular with her when she's in the temple. Oh, you drunk? He didn't know if she was drunk or not. He just jumped on her. By the way, you know what I've seen, though? I've seen men that when their homes aren't right and somebody else has something wrong or there's something in there, they'll run. If they're dealing with a Jezebel at home, Brother Paul, we talked about this about another person. Remember that? We were talking about that situation. They'll be quick to jump down somebody's throat. Why? Well, because they can't do that at home, so they go do it somewhere else. Right? I've seen a lot of men like do that. If we are easy on wicked sins, we make our sons and daughters the worst of transgressors, and we heap up wickedness. Eli plagued his own home by being kind to sin. Never be kind to sin, but thrust it out and thrust it through. Eli did not restrain his sons. He mildly rebukes them, and he waited until others said something, and he was forced out of protocol to do something. He says, nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. So what happened? He waited till somebody else told him. And he's like, now I have to talk to him, because now everybody knows. There's some fundamental Baptists, like pastors like that, do that. They'll wait till now somebody knows. Now I got to do something about it. We want to be that way. Why wait for that? By the way, if someone does mention behavioral problems, there's some things that we can follow. Number one, don't get angry about it. If someone brings a behavioral problem about your child, don't get angry about it. Number two, don't overreact to it. Number three, don't overreact or don't underreact to it. Weigh it out. Think about it. Weigh the report out. Think about it. Sometimes people don't have all the facts. Man, this is going longer than I thought. I would apologize, but I don't feel like it because I don't think I should. I don't think I should apologize for giving you the absolute whole fat enchilada tonight that you and I need. Amen. Extra cheese, right, Aaron? But weigh the report out. Sometimes people, you know, somebody sometimes will bring you something and then they don't have all the facts and you put all the facts. You're like, okay, well, it's not something serious, but it's something I'll keep my eye on. Right? Sometimes that's the case. Right? But you need to, you don't need to ignore it and act like not. You know, years ago we had somebody, a family in this church, and their child was abusive to other kids. And God moved him out of here. But anyway, their child was very abusive. You know, they would get into fights with them all the time and things like that. And the children would report to the parents, say, hey, so-and-so's decking me all the time and doing this. And then they would say, oh, well, the only reason why they're saying that is so my kid, because they know my child gets a spanking. In other words, assuming that none of you losers in this room ever discipline your own children. It was just them that disciplined their children, and none of you guys ever disciplined yours. So it's really you guys. Well, that lasted a long time. But, you know, here's the thing. That's the wrong attitude to have. When someone brings something to us, we have to weigh it out. We have to get the evidence. We have to deal with it the best we can. We've got to keep an eye on it. That's what we have to do. But you know what? We must restrain them and not allow sin. We must use corrective measures. And let me say this to you. Just because your children become older doesn't mean they don't need a dad or a mom. Because they do. Some of these older girls and boys need dad and mom more now. And will one day be married. But right now, in the years that they're in their formidable years, they need a loving mother and father to continue to guide them, to help them through. Even if their stubborn, bullheaded self thinks they don't. They still do. You know, Eli, he just didn't restrain them. He didn't correct them with the right measurement. Indulgent parents are cruel to themselves and their posterity. If you allow your children to indulge in sin, if you're indulgent to their sinful behavior, you're only going to make your life worse than theirs. It's dangerous. Turn to Proverbs chapter 19. These are our memory verses here this week. We're going to go through these. Verse number 18, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. And do it while there's hope. Yeah. Proverbs 23:13. Mandy said, Dad, I think you have an agenda with these verses this week. Didn't take her long to figure that out either. How perceptive of you. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. By the way, you're supposed to add verse 14 to that. I messed up and didn't give you that. So put your brain to work. You'll figure it out. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Wow. Amen. Proverbs 29:17. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. And Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Allowing unrestrained emotions is another thing that will cause them to end up like that. By the way, don't stop emotions and tell them, well, you can't cry when you're in trouble. You'll end up raising a monster. I've met people like that. Their kids grow up and they're completely stone-faced and they never shed a tear. And they're completely, like, emotionless. And they grow up to, like, burn people's houses down and, like, shoot people and kill them. I'm not kidding you. They cut the heads off of cats. I'm telling you, don't do that. Kids, there's nothing wrong with having emotions. They need to have them.
Yes.
And so do you. Amen.
Amen.
But you need to teach them how to deal properly with them, how to restrain their emotions, how to control them, how to hold them back. We always tell our kids crying is acceptable, but screaming is not.
Right.
Unless your arm's being cut off, then maybe you might scream. But when you're being corrected, crying is acceptable, but screaming is not. Right. But screaming and losing control of your emotions is not okay. If you will see things in your children as you look at them like a garden that needs constant loving care and attention on how it grows, that you as parents are picking the weeds and teaching them to see the weeds and tend the garden, this will go a long way in their growth. If you take a field and you buy a field and you let it go and it's all grown over, right? And nothing comes of it and it's not fruitful. Why? Well, you bought it and it grew up, but it grew up with weeds and it never was fruitful. But if I have a plot of land and I till it and I care for it and I make sure it's watered and I make sure it's cared for and nurtured, and fertilize and everything else, and then I pull the weeds and I teach them to pull the weeds in it, and I do that, then guess what? It grows up to be fruitful. And that's how children are. They are the garden that God has given you. And they grow up the way that you raise them. I'm going to say that to you again. They grow up the way we raise them. One of the things that I'm working on, even in my own home, is when things don't go right, is to continually say, okay, what do I need to do? Because we're raising them. They're not raising us. So then I'm not going to blame them for failures. I'm going to blame me. Now, if they disobey, that's another story. But then if I don't do anything about their disobedience, I'm not going to sit there and put my hands up and be like, well, I don't know what to do. Yes, you do. Or I'm not going to look at them and be like, well, it's their fault because they won't do this. Oh, no. They do what you allow them to do. Remember, you feed them. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's true, yeah. Oh, man, what a mess. But think about it, though, right? Think about that. We don't blame them. That's right. We have to do our job. If they don't do theirs, we still have to do ours. Right? It's like this. Well, my husband's not the husband he should be. That doesn't mean you don't have to be the wife you're supposed to be. Right? My father's not the father he's to be. That doesn't mean you're not to be the son that you're supposed to be. That doesn't mean you're not to be that you can be somebody that, other than the daughter that God wants you to be. No, you still have to obey God. You still have to follow the Lord, even if your father does, even if your mother does, even if they do. So you know what? When we're raising our children, it's the same thing. Next, he honored his sons over God. Verse number 29, wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. What did he do? He honored his sons. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. God said that Eli honored his sons over God. Now, you and I are going to be faced with that decision. And there are times that your children are going to want to do something that's not right in the eyes of God. Are you going to honor them over God? Or are you going to honor God and say, you know, nope, we're honoring the Lord. We really believe this book. Some of you have already been tested and had to do that. You've already had to do that. By the way, but that's something that we have to do. We have to honor the Lord over our children. Eli, he chose his sons. He knew they were wrong, but he put them in his relationship before them, before God. There's a lot of parents out there that are naming the name of Christ that are doing that. They say they're Christians, and they have children and relatives that grow up to be that are sodomites, and they're making excuses for them. They're continuing fellowship with them. They're continuing to live like that. They're continuing to do that when their children are sinful, living in wickedness. Let them move in a girlfriend and live with them, sleeping in fornication in their house. Right? God says that's honoring them above Him. By the way, that's something that a pastor has to be careful of, is not honoring people above God. Or his own family or his own wife. 4 years ago, I remember I've told you this before, but I had that conversation with my wife. I said, honey, there isn't anything I wouldn't do for you except disobey God. I can't do that. I can't do that for you. And she didn't ask me to, but when I put it like that, she understood it. You know, it was about moving back into our house, and I said, I can't do that. I've got to obey the Lord. All the while, God was testing me through all those things. Continual testing. You say, well, it's amazing. Still, huh? Yep, still. God will honor those who raise their children for the Lord and do not put their feelings above their faith in the Lord. But they follow the Lord and are willing to say the hard thing and do the right thing. Next, Eli despised the Lord. God says that when you tolerate that sin, when you don't openly correct your children, ignore them, you're despising the Lord. You despise the commandment. You're thinking very small of God's commands. God hates that. Stick to your convictions. And make much about God's word in your home. And make it the supreme rule of all that you do in your life. When you fail and do not act right, repent before the Lord and your family, ask forgiveness, and walk humbly before the Lord, that they see no hypocrisy in you. Who knows if the very thing you have to enforce in your home is the deterrent for them so they don't get into sin? You don't know what vice they can catch on to. Parents are to be those restrainers. You know, when Eli got old, he got soft. That's a dangerous thing. That's the next thing. Eli, when the older he got, the softer he got. We ought to pray that the Lord never lets us go soft on sin, especially our own. Especially our own. Pray that we don't become passive parents and overlook sin. Or grandparents that ignore it. Sin is not cute. Rebellion is not cute. And we as parents and grandparents must lead and guide these children in the paths of righteousness. We have to walk in those paths and not suffer sin upon them. Pray that the Lord would help us never to be soft on that. Go to God to help you to see clearly. You know, the sad end of these sons of Belial was they died and went to hell. Those sons of Belial were killed by the Philistines. They were given over to the same gods of the Philistines, the same gods that they worshipped. They pretended to worship the Lord, but God drug them out to the light, showed that by taking the... Eli would not separate his sons from the ark, so God separated the ark from his sons. That's exactly what God did. And the ark was gone, and Eli, he died too. Yep. And the one thing that he was to do was to keep the light on in the tabernacle, right? The one thing he was to do was to keep the ark. and he failed at that. Right? I'm going to stop now, but let me say this to you. Think about that. Think about the one thing that Eli did that was bigger than any of the other mistakes that you can make as a parent, and that's a failure to restrain your children when you see evil and sin in them. It's the one thing that God drives home here in this story, that you don't want to confront it, you don't want to deal with it, you don't want to do it, so you don't. You just overlook it. No, don't overlook it. That's what Eli did, and things got worse, right? Can't overlook that. You got to stand up. You got to preach them. You got to teach them. You got to guide them. You got to direct them. You got to show them the truth. You can't let that go. You can't let sin go unrestrained. Can't let them go unrestrained. You know, what that really says is that Eli didn't parent them. He just let them grow up. I know for me as a pastor that I cannot take for granted anything with my family, because I know how much Satan hates me, and I know how much he hates this church, and I know how much he hates God, and I know how much he hates my family. I know that. So I have to be vigilant. But so do you. Because the danger is that they have the truth. They have the guidance. They have the preaching. They have the fellowship of believers. They have the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. But if you and I do differently at home, and we're lazy and we don't instruct and we don't restrain and we don't teach them and we don't govern them and guide them and we let them go, you can raise the worst religious devil ever. And you know what? Satan's going to tempt your children. And I feel bad for kids that have to grow up in this world today, man. Because it's getting nothing but worse. And I know every generation says that. But boy, we have some pretty good examples in this one, don't we? They're growing up in a way different America than I grew up in, man. At least the one that I grew up in, you knew what a boy and a girl was. I mean, you could tell the difference. Now, you better be careful marrying outside of your church. You might not marry a... You boys might not marry a woman if you're not careful. You better be careful. Right? I'm just saying, we're not gonna know. That's how bad it's getting. Amen? You gotta be careful. Let's do all we can do. And we have to leave the results up to God. But we sure have to work hard. And we don't want to be guilty of not restraining them. Because we'll raise a son of Belial or a daughter of Belial. And you look at that little baby in your lap and you think, there's no way they could turn out that way. I'm sure Adolf Hitler's mother and everybody else thought the same exact thing when they looked down at their baby. Right? I'm sure he was a beautiful baby. Right? I'm sure he was. I'm sure all of them were, weren't they? As they looked down. I'm sure Margaret Sanger was.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Sure they were. But it matters how you raise them. Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this lesson tonight, Lord. And help our hearts to receive it. And help us to instruct our children in righteousness. Help us to guide them and love them, Lord. And spend time with them and show them they're important to us. And that we value them so greatly that God has blessed us with them. And they truly are gifts of God. May we never look at them in any other way. And forgive us, Lord. Forgive me, Lord, for the times of any complaint and anything like that, Lord. All of us, Lord, are probably guilty of that, complaining, when we should be rejoicing and thanking God for His blessings and gifts. Father, may we never take it for granted. Use us, Lord. It's a privilege to raise them for you. Help us to do so. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.